Emory University Podcasts. I'm walking outside on a brisk December afternoon. I breathe in the cool air around me as I walk past a line of cars stuck in Atlanta traffic. I went on this walk to clear my mind, but now, all I can think about are the invisible air pollutants that I just inhaled. How is this affecting my health? I'm Bobby Mosley Jr., and you're listening to Healthier You, a podcast made by students at Emory University's Center for the Study of Human Health. Every week, we bring you personal stories and expert insights into our generation's biggest health questions. On today's episode, air pollution. Throughout my life, I've heard a lot of concerning news surrounding climate change, air pollution, and other environmental issues, but I never knew how it would affect me or my health. I was diagnosed with asthma when I was 13, and slowly it began to have an impact on my daily life and activities. I'd played baseball all my life, but by the time I got to high school, I was shocked to notice how much asthma affected my performance. Sure, everyone gets tired after chasing down fly balls, but there were times where I struggled to catch my breath more than anyone else on the field. Still, I wasn't aware of the ways in which air pollution could affect other aspects of my health. So, I did some research. But before I dive in, how did other students think air pollution was affecting them?
In Singapore, every year we have something called the haze, which causes really, really bad air pollution for a lot of Southeast Asia.
This is my friend Lauren. She grew up in Singapore. Nearby, in Indonesia, palm oil plantations are often set on fire in order to clear more land for agriculture, and that air pollution seeps over to Singapore.
Sometimes school gets canceled because the air pollution's bad, and to the point where you can't, like, it's not safe to go outside. One year was really bad. Like, you couldn't see the building across from me because the air pollution was so thick. It was like the white fog. It was crazy.
Lauren didn't know it then, but she had asthma, just like I do.
Having asthma in Singapore with the haze was really, really bad, so I didn't know I had it. And then one day we have like PE outside, and I had like, it triggered like asthma attacks because the PSI, which is the, I'm not sure what that stands for, but that's the scale that we see every day to see if it's safe to go outside.
I looked it up. It stands for Pollutant Standards Index.
And if it's above 100, it's bad. Above 200, it's really bad. Above 300, school's canceled. So at the time, it was about 200, and we were outside running, and I had asthma, but I didn't know. And I was like running outside and had like an asthma attack, and luckily someone had an inhaler. But yeah, a lot of kids have asthma in Singapore, and it's triggered by the haze.
While Lauren's story is pretty unique, children across the world are being affected by air pollution in a variety of different ways. A study conducted in 2016 found that children growing up in trap environments had an increased risk of developing asthma. Now, what is TRAP exactly?
TRAP is an acronym for traffic-related air pollution.
That was Dr. Jeremy Sarnott, associate professor in the Rollins School of Public Health at Emory University.
This is a whole mix of different pollutants that might be associated with mobile sources. We kind of think of cars and trucks as being a major contributor to TRAP, but there are other sources as well, airports and airplanes being big ones, ships, things that are emitted from ships. I wouldn't necessarily say that they're TRAP, but they might be mobile sources that contribute some of the same types of pollutants as cars and trucks.
TRAP areas are often in urban settings and near major roadways, like the street I walk down every day to get to and from school. Back in 2009, the EPA suggested that an estimated more than 45 million people in the United States lived within 300 feet of a highway with four more lanes, a railroad, or an airport. An update in 2022 found that an estimated 72 million people in America lived near truck freight routes. That is a change of 27 million people in just 13 years. Additionally, a research study conducted in May 2023 at Fudan University in Shanghai, China, found that TRAP exposure can lead to impaired lung function and respiratory symptoms. This study used college students above the age of 18 who had no previous history of smoking or respiratory issues and had lived on campus for at least 1 year prior. At the end of the data collection process, the random crossover trial found that TRAP exposure was associated with higher respiratory symptom scores and lower lung function. As I continued my search for possible health effects, I found something even more shocking. According to the World Health Organization, the combined effects of indoor and outdoor air pollution are associated with 6.7 million premature deaths globally per year, and an estimated 4.2 million of those deaths is outdoor air pollution alone. But what can be done about it? Or how can we keep air pollution from having an even bigger impact on our health? Dr. Sarnat provided some great insight on steps any person could take.
There are different things that certainly we could do, whether it be limiting exposure when indoors, turning on air conditioning and not opening windows, to specific filtration, air filter systems that they may want to use, but also beginning to kind of really understand the patterns of exposure throughout the day. So that if I was going to kind of go outside and I was concerned about my health and potential exposure to air pollution, I may actually want to rethink when I would be, for instance, taking a outdoor jog or something like that.
Of course, air pollution will affect some people more than others. Those with chronic lung conditions or diseases like asthma would definitely have to consider what Dr. Sarnat suggested, more than, say, someone with regular functioning lungs. I'm no Olympian by any means, but I will probably keep my runs indoors on a treadmill with cool fans blowing in my face. That being said, Dr. Sarnat's insight about understanding the patterns of exposure and the use of devices like filtration systems would be a helpful tool for anyone. But as Dr. Sarnat was talking, I wondered, how can I tell if I'm in an area with high levels of air pollution?
For sure. Some folks, it may not kind of manifest itself in some sort of clinical symptom, but I have definitely lots of friends and colleagues who, if they are in a city that's very polluted, for instance, they'll immediately notice difficulty breathing, scratchiness in their throat. Some folks may be especially sensitive to certain types of air pollutants and may experience more severe outcomes, a heart attack or something like that. Again, it's hard to know if you are one of those people until one of those severe outcomes occurs, unfortunately.
Obviously, a lot of what we've discussed so far seems pretty bleak. I would love for there to be a situation where I didn't have to worry about the air pollution outside and could just go for that outdoor jog Dr. Sarnat mentioned earlier. A study published in 2017 found that 100 energy companies are responsible for 71% of all industrial emissions since human-driven climate change was officially recognized. This got me upset, thinking about how industrial polluters keep polluting our air and getting away with it, whether it's big corporations or plantations in Indonesia. So what work can citizens do to kind of hold these big sources accountable and make sure that they're not portioning things for us in the future?
Well, I think that getting involved in organizations that advocate for, you know, change in policy and in regulation and in laws, voting and voting for candidates who speak clearly on the issue and who have the, you know, the courage to kind of vote with their conscience. Those are on an individual level things that we all can do. But for environmental policies in particular, I think our politicians and decision makers really need to hear that these are issues of critical importance to us as average citizens.
So to sum things up, air pollution is constantly circulating in our environment and can have a negative impact on our health, including an increased risk for asthma in children, impaired lung function, and premature deaths. These were all seen in areas where traffic is very prevalent, like major roadways. Those who are more susceptible to feeling the more negative effects of air pollution can take measures like limiting time outdoors and purchasing air filtration devices for their homes. But we can all do work ourselves to make things better. We can all advocate for more climate-friendly policies and regulations that would hold major sources of air pollution accountable and prevent things from getting worse for us all in the future. You could also email your local politicians and advocate for change. So, while air pollution can negatively affect our livelihoods, we can work to make things better for us all. Thank you for listening to Healthier You, from the Center for the Study of Human Health at Emory University. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your podcast app and make sure to leave us a rating or a review. This episode was reported and produced by me, Bobby Mosley Jr. Our theme music is by Tim Taj. Special thanks to Dr. Jeremy Sarnat and Lauren Cohen. You can find links to all the studies and resources we mentioned in our show notes or on our website, exploringhealth.org.